This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. We go from the surface of the planet Earth to the surface of a discovered exoplanet. This is a miracle, and I welcome Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black, and it's Happy Birthday, Bob Zimmerman Month, for your subscriptions and donations, generous subscriptions and donations, much appreciated, to go to this new world. Now, why it's significant, we find thousands of exoplanets, is that this is near at hand, 4.5 light years. We can probe that. The ambition here is to probe all of the Alpha Centauri system. There are 3 stars there. But now, Bob, what have we discovered?
Well, several things. First of all, it's a planet that it's an exoplanet that apparently orbits the star Proxima Centauri, which is actually about 4 light years away. It's closest. It's absolutely the closest of the. It's the one that circles the other two in the Alpha Centauri system, or maybe circles it, but it's closest to us. So that's the first thing. Secondly, what they think they've found, and we have to emphasize the uncertainty of it, what they think they have found is an Earth-like planet that might be slightly smaller than Earth, but a rocky terrestrial planet that is in the habitable zone of the red dwarf Proxima Centauri. Now, there are a lot of uncertainties here. They've did this detection using radar Doppler techniques from Earth, and that technology, there's uncertainties about what it needs to be confirmed by independent observations. It also doesn't tell you the actual mass. It gives you a gigantic range of the mass, but the mass here can't be much larger than an Earth mass. It's in that range, approximately, probably a little smaller. So there are uncertainties, and plus the data is not confirmed yet, so it might not exist. The scientists who did the observations, though, are very confident. The equipment they used on the ground out of Chile is very sophisticated, and it got a very clear signal. And this is one of 4 planets that have now been detected orbiting Proxima Centauri, so this is a robust solar system. And it does appear to have a Earth-like planet in it. Of course, it's a red dwarf, which means that for life to exist there, there are issues because red dwarfs are not as stable as the sun, and they have flares that would significantly threaten any life on a planet in the habitable zone. But nonetheless, this is a place where we can go, and as you say, we can observe it. Good technology in the very near future will almost certainly be able to image this planet. It's just not in orbit yet, but it's coming without certain.
We go from the newly discovered exoplanet to the long discovered surface of Mars for our brave little flying toaster, Ingenuity, Flight 19. Bob, the last time we talked, this is like the Lone Ranger and Tonto. Tonto flies out front to scout the surface for the Lone Ranger, or have they come up with a new method for Ingenuity?
Well, right now the situation is that no scouting for Perseverance is really necessary. Perseverance is finally, after a long, long period in one particular place, is now retracing its steps to pass the actual landing site so it can then continue on its journey on its planned route. I have a map on Behind the Black so you can see where it is and where it's intending to go. And since they're retracing their steps, they already have very, very good images and data on exactly where the rover will travel. So they don't really need Ingenuity to do anything for the rover. However, they want to place Ingenuity ahead of it so that when they start moving into new territory, it can do exactly what you said, John, scout the ground. And so Ingenuity did its 19th flight successfully. It was a short flight, but that was planned. And the flight was delayed about a month for 2 reasons. The main reason was that there was a dust storm. It's the dust storm season on Mars. And the Ingenuity loses power because it's solar powered. It's operated by solar power. And so they wanted to let the dust storm settle. Second reason is they wanted to wait till Perseverance started moving and put in a position where they would guarantee communications between the two. A previous flight, the terrain in between actually cut off communications during engine landing, and though nothing went wrong, they'd rather avoid that. And so that's the second reason. But it's successful, and exactly what's going to happen, John, over the next few years, it'll just continue until it fails. It'll just keep hopping ahead and checking the ground so that Perseverance will have preliminary information before they move forward.
Someday there'll be a version of Ingenuity that might be able to withstand the surface of Venus, but right now, what we have is a wonderful presentation by the solar probe Parker. Where is Parker, Bob, to give us this image?
Parker orbits the sun, and each orbit it is periodically flying past Venus to lower that orbit so that it'll get as close to the sun as possible. In two of those flybys of Venus over the last year, they used one of Parker's cameras to take optical near-infrared images of Venus, and these images are essentially measuring the thermal temperature of the planet. They're in optical wavelengths, but we're not really looking at a visual image, in a sense. We're looking at the heat off the surface of Venus. You know, there's a lot of heat off the surface of Venus. And what was interesting about this is that the heat they were detecting was surface heat. So this is essentially the first orbital picture of the surface of Venus. And I've got on Behind the Black a wonderful comparison they provided between a radar image showing the terrain and the this new Parker image. And you can see they match up. And what the Parker image shows is that higher altitude features, like on Earth, are cooler than lower altitude features. Basically, as you move uphill on Venus, it gets cooler. Doesn't mean it gets very cold. We're talking about still temperatures in the 800 degree Fahrenheit range. You could, you know, melt some metals with that temperature. But nonetheless, this is very cool. It also tells us that with the right instruments in Venus orbit, we can actually get data about the surface that we didn't know we could do before.
From Venus to the asteroid belt. This is Bob's illustration of uncertainty, but in a news event. The asteroid is Electra. What is proposed to have been discovered, Bob?
According to some scientists, they went through, using new software algorithms to sharpen images, they went through archival images of the asteroid Electra, which has been known since 1873. And what they discovered was that it appears they already knew it had two satellites, small asteroids orbiting it. The new data, the massage software archival data, appears to suggest there's a third, which would make it the first asteroid having three moons, three satellites. And these are pieces that probably broke off the asteroid either because it's not tremendously stable or because of an impact that broke pieces away. I make the point in my post on Behind the Black that this is a somewhat uncertain discovery. It is not confirmed. And in fact, the scientists themselves emphasize the uncertainty of it. The New York Times reported it with almost total certainty. My God, we found an asteroid, but that's just spinning the story. It's an interesting thing. It will tell us, this kind of data helps teach us something about the eventual, the long-term history of the formation of the asteroid belt and the asteroids, but it only is preliminary data. We'd have to get there and actually measure these asteroids separately and find out how they fit together.
Now to the surface of Mars for cool image time. You found a glacier and a glacier and a glacier. What have you found, Bob?
Well, this is just one of those cool images that Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter took, high-resolution camera, that I posted on Behind the Black. And it's a picture of really chaotic and very layered glacial features in the region of Mars that I label glacier country. There's a 2,000-mile strip in the mid-latitudes, northern hemisphere of Mars, where practically every picture that Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter takes, and any other orbiter, by the way, shows glacial features. This is an area rich in ice glaciers. There's no doubt about it. And so this picture is just really cool, and I posted it, and the thing that's most interesting about it is the layers upon layers of glaciers. That suggests a cyclical process of ebb and flow over the aeons, which they suspected did occur, because as the tilt of Mars moves from 11 degrees to 60 degrees, Earth is 23 degrees, but Mars tilts much more and fluctuates much more. As it rotates, as it tilts back and forth, the water on the planet migrates either from the poles to the mid-latitudes or from the mid-latitudes to the poles, depending on what the tilt is. And that's what produces these layers. And it also suggests these layers that with each new deposition period in the mid-latitudes, there's less water to lay down. And that just fits with the history of Mars losing its water over time.
Bob Zimmerman, it is happy birthday, Bob Zimmerman month. Your donations and subscriptions most welcome. We're headed to space engineering. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.